Often when the new year approaches and the old year passes, we have a tendency to look back. We frequently look back, and there's often good memories and there's sad memories that go along with that. And this being my first opportunity to preach, starting this new year, I confess it's been my desire to bring a message of encouragement as we begin a new year. And in seeking a text, I've listened to several of God's messengers. I went back on sermon audio and tried to find every message that, you know, many of these men have preached from the, you know, the first message of the year, and desiring a text. I've read several of the old writers and several of Spurgeon's messages to begin the new year. And with that, I've heard a lot of good messages. But oddly enough, it wasn't until I was looking at a Rural King ad online that I come across this text. And I'd ask you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Look at beginning with verse 18 of Isaiah 43. Here we read, "Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now the title of my message this morning is this: Don't look back. Don't look back. Now, it's important to know the context of this passage, this text this morning. Isaiah had just referred to the bringing of Israel out of Egypt. They came through the Red Sea. And you all remember the account of that. Pharaoh and his army drowned in the Red Sea, and God's children, Israel, were delivered. They walked through on dry ground, a water of wall on each side. What an amazing thing that must have been. What a miraculous thing that must have been. A mighty deliverance. And it's certainly worth being remembered. And no doubt should have been remembered with thankful hearts. But not in comparison to that which is coming. Truly, what a sight these things must have been. There they were. There the children of Israel were, fleeing from Egypt. And there's the Red Sea on one side, and the armies of Pharaoh coming to attack on the other side. The fear that must have entered their hearts. And God delivered them. Was there ever a chance? I mean, can you imagine what they had to be thinking? Here's the Red Sea. It's either start swimming, or here comes the army of Pharaoh. No chance of deliverance. That's the only thing that could have entered our minds if we were standing there. But God delivered them. God delivered him out of the hand of Egypt. He drowned Pharaoh and his armies and delivered them. And yet we read here, remember not. That was the instruction. Remember not the former things. Huh? Something greater is coming. Something far greater. And Israel had a tendency to look back. How often did they murmur at Moses and say things like, let us alone. We would have been better off if you'd have just let us stay and serve the Egyptians. We'd have been better off to have just died in Egypt rather than being drug out here in the wilderness. We have a tendency to do the same thing, don't we? If we're honest with ourselves, to look back, to murmur and complain. And yet we read here, "Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old." In Genesis 19, when the Lord was going to destroy Sodom, an angel spoke to Lot and said, "Take thy wife and thy two daughters," and he told him, he said, "Escape for your life." And he gave him this instruction. He said, "Look not behind thee." Don't look behind you. Neither stay in the plain, but escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Don't look back. Listen, there's nothing in Sodom for you. And yet what happened? Turn with me back there to Genesis 19. Do you have Genesis 19? Look at verse 17 of Genesis 19. It said, "It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape thou in the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And then look over at verse 26. What happened? But his wife, Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became like a pillar of salt. Our Lord, listen, don't look back. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Would you go back to Egypt? Truly, would we go back to Egypt? Back to Sodom? Back to the bondage of the law? Back to sin? In John 6, verse 66, turn there with me. John 6, verse 66. Our Lord, he's speaking to his disciples. And look, beginning in verse 65, he said, "Therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father." Read on. "From that time, many of his disciples went back." They went back and they walked no more with him. What did they go back to? Whatever they were doing before. Whatever it was. They were obviously not his true disciples. For if they had been, they wouldn't have turned and went. They wouldn't have turned and went back. They would have continued with him. They went back. That word can literally be read, they returned to the things that were behind, to the world, to their old companions, to Satan, to their own heart, like a dog returning to its vomit, like a pig returns to the mire, wallowing in the mire, back to the scribes and to the Pharisees, back to the works of the law. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, going back to establish their own righteousness. What do we read here? "Remember not the former things." Our Lord asked his disciples, his true disciples, he said, "Will you go away? Will you go away too? Will you return back to there?" And what did Peter say? Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life." Paul said to the Philippians, he said, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before," the things that are in front of us. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ," in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn back again to our text, Isaiah 43. "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Deliverance, again, through the Red Sea. A deliverance from Pharaoh and his army. Certainly worth being remembered. Huh? With praise and a thankful heart, but again, not in comparison to that which is coming. That which would be done. Eternal redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation, the true salvation of his people. Look at verse 19. He said, "For behold, I do a new thing." A wonderful thing. His name is wonderful. A new thing. An unheard of thing. Listen, healing the sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils. Had those things ever been done before? A new thing, an unheard of thing. Turn with me to Jeremiah 23, just over a book. Jeremiah 23. Look, beginning with verse 7. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the lands of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I had driven them. They shall dwell in their own land." A new thing, a wonderful thing. Can this be anyone but our Redeemer? Can this be anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ? God manifest in the flesh. Look at verse 25. Back to our text in Isaiah. Verse 25. "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." Looking not back, but looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 45:22, just a few pages from our text, we read, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was made flesh. Isn't that an amazing thing to think that God was made flesh? The Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. He's the eternal God. And yet here in our text, he's referred to as a new thing. How can that be? In Isaiah 9:6, we read, "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, a child that had never been seen on this earth before." God placed him in that body. He said that. He said, "A body hast thou prepared me." In that body dwelt Almighty God himself. That's beyond human comprehension, isn't it? We can't even begin to enter into that. This son which was given, he took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Why did he do it? But to deliver his people. To deliver his people from the curse of the law. By his obedience, by his righteousness, by his holiness. And listen, we're accepted in him. Accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the sin debt. That debt that we could never pay. He put away our sin and our guilt. Washed us. white as the snow. And he's buried and risen and ascended on high, seated at the right hand of God, where he ever lives to make intercession for his people, for us. Now back to Isaiah 43. Look at verse 19. This new thing, it says, it shall spring forth. It means this. It shall bud forth as a branch. As the spring comes, that branch opens up. There's life in that branch. Shall bud forth as a branch. It shall come suddenly as a branch. You watch and you watch and you watch, and you wake up and there's that bud, right? And you see it. In the book of Zechariah, twice, our Lord's referred to as my servant, the branch. He took upon himself the form of a servant. That servant which would justify the many. And we looked to him. He's referred to as the branch of righteousness. The branch who brought everlasting righteousness to his people as our substitute, as our representative, and by him we are made the very righteousness of God in him. So perfect and complete, we even bear his name, the Lord. She shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Now again, here in our text, he says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Oh, but rather a new thing, a wonderful thing, a complete thing, an eternal thing. It shall spring forth. That righteous branch shall spring forth. And he says this, shall ye not know it? There's many who don't know it. There's many who can't see it, who won't see it, who refuse to see it. But listen, his people know it. His people shall know it. He said this, he said, my sheep hear my voice. Away, read on there, he says, away in the wilderness. In this barren land, in this thirsty land, in this unfruitful land, there's a way. There is a way. Christ, who is the way. Christ, who is the way of salvation. A river. Who ever heard of a river in the desert? What'd he say to that woman in the way? Rivers of living water. Christ. This new thing here. It can only be Christ. And listen, what's the effect of this new thing? It produces a new creature, a new creation, a new and living way. We have a new name. It's no longer sinner. We've got a new name, righteousness. We bear his name. We sing a new song. That's what the scriptures declare. And our Lord said, behold, I make all things new. It's all of him. It's his work. Remember not the former things. Don't look back. Behold, I do a new thing. What's the command? Look to Christ. Don't look back. Look to Christ. Look unto me. That's what he said. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God, and there is none else. Back there in the book of Numbers, remember God had hearkened to the voice of Israel. He'd delivered up the Canaanites to the children of Israel. And as the children of Israel journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea, they became discouraged because of the way. We become discouraged, don't we? It's the same in our time. And listen, this way, it's the way God led his people. The way he leads his people, the direction he takes. Our steps are ordered And yet we still become discouraged, don't we? Even knowing that His way is best, whatever way that might be. And they spoke against God, and they spoke against Moses, murmured and complained. Why didn't you just let us die in Egypt? It would have been better if you just let us die in Egypt, made our graves there. And remember, God sent those fiery serpents in judgment, bit the people, and much people died, judgment for sin. And the people came to Moses, and they said, we've sinned. We've sinned against God. And they said, Moses, intercede on our behalf. Pray unto God. And the Lord told Moses, He said, take a serpent of brass. And He said, you put that up on a pole. And it came to pass that everyone that was bitten, when he looked upon the serpent, what happened? Lived. Life. Huh? Could it be that simple? We complicate everything, don't we? What's the command? Look. Look and live. You reckon there were people there, men and women that were dying, that just refused to look? I'm not going to look. Huh? I'm not going to look. Those who would not submit to the command? Maybe some who said this, there's a better way. There's a better way. Let's just make our own serpent. Let's just make something else, and we'll look to it. Ignorant. Ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. Those who would not submit to the righteousness of Almighty God. Those who would not look because of unbelief. Those too proud to look. Those who refused to believe that they probably refused to believe they were even dying. I'm not sick. Everybody around been bit dying. It won't get me. Judgment's not coming my way, huh? Our Lord told a group of people, He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Well, what happened to those that looked? What happened? Huh? It came to pass. This is what the scripture says. It came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. Don't look back. Don't look back. Look to Christ. Christ alone. God, He's God's salvation. Huh? Now, in closing, Let me share with you here. You may have read this a while back. Don Fortner wrote an article. Of course, he wrote many, but this one I felt applied to this message this morning. He said this. He said, throughout the Bible, the act of faith by which we receive eternal life is referred to as a look. Huh? Like the children of Israel bitten by the serpent. They looked at that brazen serpent, that which God had provided, that which God had commanded. They looked to that serpent for life. And we must look to Christ for life. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ crucified for eternal life. And He gave 3 points here quickly. He said this. He said, salvation begins with a look. We've read that several times here this morning. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God, there's none else. Salvation begins with a look. Looking away from self. Looking away from everything else and looking to Christ and Christ alone for our entire salvation. Not in part, but the whole of salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Resting in nothing but Him. Second, salvation is maintained by a look. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we read, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of God. something I've learned. The thought of this has changed in our day. But listen, you don't sit down till the work is finished. The Lord Jesus Christ sat down. Huh? It's finished. And listen, third, salvation will end in a look. Huh? Revelation 22 verse 4 says this, they shall see his face. Right now we look by faith. But when he's pleased to bring his people home, we'll see him face to face. Huh? And if we have any hope to see his face in glory, let us look. Let us look to him. Look to him right now. Look to Christ. Not looking backward. Not looking to that which is behind, but looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. Paul said this. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. All right. I pray God would bless his word and enable to truly do that. Not look back. Not look back at those things behind us, but look to Christ and him alone.